Do you just know about Jesus Christ, or do you have a personal relationship with Him? Here's Mike McIntosh with more.
And you could be sitting here intellectually or watching on the internet or watching a DVD or listening on the radio. And intellectually, you'll accept Jesus, know Jesus, accept God, know about God, believe the Bible, be called a Christian. But spiritually, you really don't have a relationship with Him.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Glad to have you join us on this Wednesday broadcast as we continue our survey of the book of Proverbs here on Chapter and Verse. Being right in the eyes of the Lord is the topic and title of our current focus, for which we're devoting two full broadcast days to this important study. In verse 2 of our text from Proverbs 21, we read, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes." Note the word "every," which tells us it's human to think we are right about everything. But when we lose sight of just who we are and who God is, we'll soon learn that we're not right about everything after all. Vital encouragement is ahead today on CNV. Prepare for an enlightening study with our teacher, Mike McIntosh, as we continue the message, Being Right in the Eyes of the Lord.
So if you're not a person prone to getting out of the boat and walking on the water and doing things by faith and maybe writing a little bigger check or going on an extension trip with some people or helping the poor, then you're not very pleasing. It's sinful. It's completely sinful. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If God can't provide for you and me, who in the world can? If God can't turn the king's heart, who in the world can? If God isn't alive and moving on this earth and in our midst, what in the world are we doing with ourselves? So he said, look, you wicked and lazy. So fear and inactivity and action in the spirit is laziness and wickedness for somebody that is a servant of the Lord. So he says, you wicked servant. His Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown. You gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers at my coming. I would have at least got back my own, which you're giving me, but I would have got 2.5 interest from the account. I would have got something. Anybody could have figured that out. And therefore, you take the talent from him and give it to the guy who has the 10 talents. The one that stuck out in faith and threw his whole life into it and multiplied his life, that guy, give him what you have. And then he says, for to everyone who has more will be given more, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice the term unprofitable servant. What a sad thing is to be recognized as a unprofitable Christian. You're not profitable for anything. You're living for self, and fear is motivating you, and now you're being lazy, and that's tuned into wickedness. Now look at the first verse, 26th chapter. It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover. So you know the calendar, yeah? And the Son of Man will be delivered to be crucified. Now that's a good play on words, because they knew there was the Passover lamb, and that would be presented to every Jew to eat in their homes. But yet he is the Lamb of God, and he's going to be turned over. And they weren't sure about that. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they plotted to take Jesus by trickery and to kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Religion. Politics in the middle of religion. Don't do it during the feast. It wouldn't look good, because then there could be an uproar and it just wouldn't be cool. Let's wait till afterwards. Their hearts were still wicked. When Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, here he is associating with a leper. Aren't you happy about that? Because he goes home with you too. Simon the leper. Wow. Remember, there was a day that Jesus walking along the dusty roads of Israel, and there were these 10 lepers. And leprosy was a horrible, and still is a horrible, wicked disease. In those days, it was everywhere. It gnarled the bones and faces were distorted. And there was a ceremonial cleansing for somebody if they had leprosy. But they were told in Levitical law that they could not touch another person. And they were told that if they were in town or passing, they had to cross at least 100 feet away from other people. And they had to verbally cry out how humiliating, how embarrassing. They had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Now imagine if every time I walk by you or you walk by the people in the aisle at Albertsons or at the baseball game or at the Charger game or something, and you saw your sin, and your sin is as gnarly as leprosy, that you had to say, Mike, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. And we're all saying to each other, we're sinners, we're sinners. So all of us would be guilty. But how embarrassing to have a handicap or physical ailment or something, and then have to verbalize it, I'm different than all the rest of you, and I'm to be looked down upon. How humiliating. So Jesus walked along the road with his disciples, and all of a sudden these 10 lepers are on the side of the road and move on to the field, and they cry out, unclean, unclean! And they come to Jesus, and they beg him, help us. And he sees their faith, and he says, go to the priest and offer the gift that Moses spoke of. And all 10 of them ran, so their bodies were perfect and functioning right on the spot. Just perfect. And they started running, and all of a sudden one of them stopped. And he turned around and he came back to Jesus and fell at his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? And he's teaching his people that are around him. You see, the others have gone their way, but this one, who is not even a Jew, is the only one that has come back and worshiped him. It's sort of like the story of the man beaten up on the road to Jericho. A priest comes by, a Sadducee comes by, and they just, you know, the rabbi don't want anything to do with him. But then the Samaritan comes by and binds this man up, the good Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other, but it showed compassion in his heart. I wonder if Simon the leper is the one out of the 10 that came back. And he's worshiping Jesus in the street, but now he has his own home, and Jesus is there, the center of his home. I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. So, he was in Bethany. A woman came to him having an alabaster flask, a very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much money and given to the poor. Ah, there we are, the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. Underline that. But me, you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Remember he said, you know, in 2 days I'm going to be handed over and killed. This woman was smarter than the disciples. She's preparing his body. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, even San Diego and Claremont Mesa, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So you see, she knew spiritually something that they didn't know intellectually. And you could be sitting here intellectually or watching on the internet or watching a DVD or listening on the radio, and intellectually, you'll accept Jesus, know Jesus, accept God, know about God, believe the Bible, be called a Christian, but spiritually, you really don't have a relationship with him. This woman, what she's doing is good. Why are you worried about the poor? The poor you always have. But me, you don't always have with you, and what she's doing is a good thing. It'll be a memorial to her. So I encourage you, let the oil of the Holy Spirit just refresh all of you. Some of you are just weary, and you're tired, and you're just worn out, you're beat up. And it's been a long time since you've spoken in tongues or prophesied or really let your heart just explode before the throne and just tell him how much you love him. It's been a long time since you've just spread your arms out and been on your face in the carpet of your own home and just cried and wept and just honored him and told him how much you care for him. But to go to a Bible study, go to church, to write a check once in a while, drop $5 in an offering basket, yeah, I'm serving the Lord. No, no, he wants more than that from us. He wants our whole lives to be broken like that alabaster box, and that the perfume of our relationship with him would just fill the whole room. And every leper in town would want to come and hang out with us because they know that we have something they're looking for, and that Jesus accepts everyone. Now, this woman's doing the right thing. So don't close your ears to the poor. he says in verse 13, whatever you do, don't do that, because the day will come when you're going to have a need and it's not going to be there to help you. Verse 16 of Proverbs 21, and then we'll worship the Lord. Proverbs 21, verse 16. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Many of you, I would imagine, if we counted it all up, and some of you would start crying because you love these people. We know people that are, quote unquote, backslidden. They've walked away from God. They're bitter. They're angry at the church. They don't like the preacher. They don't like Christians. They've been hurt. They're wounded. Maybe they're drinking. Who knows what they're doing? But they've walked away from the Lord, and it hurts you. For whatever reason, they've been let down. They've been hurt. They quit. And as somebody once said, backsliding starts with the stopping of bending the knee. When you stop praying and stop bowing before the Lord, that's when it starts. But here's what he's saying. That the man who wanders out of the way of understanding is going to remain in the congregation of the dead. It says in the book of Proverbs that as a dog returns to the vomit, so is a fool who returns to his folly. And for a person to know the goodness, taste of the Lord, and see that the Lord is good, and then to go back into the world and return to the things that you used to do is like the dog returning to his own vomit. It's foolishness. And backsliders are usually guilty of three things. Criticism, number one. Condemnation, number two. And complaining, number three. And think about your people you know right now. They're critical. They're complaining. And they are condemning. Not only themselves, but other people. It's all about other people trying to make an excuse for themselves. So you need to do what God can do for a king and pray for the people that you love and know. For whatever excuse they have, it won't stand with God. His love is the same no matter what. And he hasn't wandered away from them. But if they do wander away, it's going to be harder for them to come back, and they are going to end up in the house of the dead with complaining, condemning, and critical people. So don't stray from the kingdom of God. Don't. It is hard to be a Christian. It is extremely hard to walk with God. It is difficult to have faith. It is not easy to pray. It is no fun to go through trials. It hurts to hurt and to question, why, God? Why? I don't understand. And then to just say, okay, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to still hold you. I'm going to hold you by the hem of your garment. Just take me. I'm going to hang on. I know you all know that. It is easier to be shallow and give up your service to the Lord. It's easy to be shallow and quit reading and praying. It's easy to say, I'm tired of the pain, I'm tired of the suffering, and I'm just going to start, you know, having a couple of beers. I'm going to start trying to get rid of all this. Instead of going to God Almighty like Job and just saying, whatever it is, please show me that I could love you even more. Turn to the 17th chapter, actually, of Job. Just right after the Psalms there. Look at the 17th chapter of Job. Verse 1. I've been reading the 16th chapter for the last year and so identifying with it, I just feel so much a part of it. Now I'm into the 17th chapter, up to the 20th chapter, and it's just amazing the things I'm experiencing. My spirit is broken. Now when your spirit is broken, you can either be a critical, condemning, complaining, once of a time Christian, or you could be a person falling flat on your face and saying, oh God, it's never been about the church, it's never been about people, it's always been about you. I love you. I serve you. My heart is your heart. I want everything I can get from you. And that's what Job chose. Have you ever felt like that? My spirit is broken. Be honest with yourself. And what a cop-out for the devil to come and say, oh, your spirit's broken. Start fornicating again with your boyfriend. Move in with the girls. Start getting drunk. Hey, start stealing a little bit more. Start spending more money on yourself. Be selfish. Don't consider the poor or serve in missions. Yesterday, I got a letter from a friend down in the jungles of the Philippines, and I sat there and I read this, and I thought of another friend that's in the same work that he's in, and I sent them both a check from the church for a few hundred bucks each. And what caught my attention was that a pastor, Jose, I forget his last name, a Filipino pastor, was murdered by the Muslims. And they're killing more and kidnapping more ministers down in Mindanao and killing Christians because they want the Philippines to be Muslim. They want to start it. It's been going on for years, and they're moving to make it a Muslim deal, and the Christians are just being persecuted. And I thought, here they are with five children, and just at the end of the stories of what they're doing this last month was this little thing about, you know, giving has gone down, and our expenses are the same, if not more, and we're here, and we're doing our best to help these people, and if you could help a little, we'd appreciate it. Well, you see, Jim Davis is one of these people. And Jim Davis was a member of the Students for a Democratic Society. You've heard of William Ayers, the communist, the founder of the Weather Underground that blew up the Pentagon and bombed a friend of Obama's that bombed the police station. And he's just unrepentant. He says he should have done more damage to America. And the SDS was a spinoff, a little more political on the college campuses, for those of you that weren't alive in the 60s. And Jim Davis was in Orange County with my brother and some other radicals that were all card-carrying members, Communist Party, and they would have these little riots and things in Orange County, and they'd come to San Diego, and they'd purposely come on San Diego State, and University of California, and they'd stir up a riot, and then they'd go back home, and they'd watch it on the news at 6 o'clock. They're professional agitators. Jim Davis was one of these. And Jim knew Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin and their doctrines and spewed it all over Orange County. And then the Jesus movement started. And Jim Davis got saved at the same time I did. He was trying to rip the flag off the pole at Orange Coast College, and I was running for president of Orange Coast College, student body president, to keep the flag up and to hassle the commies. I just liked the conflict. I loved the battle that would go on verbally. And Jim became a Christian. And he has lived for so many years, he and Shonda, in the Philippines, training thousands of Filipinos into the ministry when he was training people into hatred and bitterness. And now he's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see God turn Jim's heart, now I can see God turn in my heart, of course, but to see him turn Jim's heart, I've always told him that it's a great witness to me. You know, his heart was broken, but when Jesus broke his heart, he didn't get bitter. He served even more. So he says, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. I'm given up. Mockers are with me. Does not my eye dwell on their provocation? I see all their lies and I'm taking it personally. Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? His friends are pulling away from him. For you have hidden their heart. They don't understand. You can talk to your friends. It's like talking to a wall. They don't understand. God's dealing with you, and you're just trying to love God. And it's like everybody's distant because they see Job, that he's got circles under his eyes, and he's emaciated, and his wife is pounding on him. His 10 kids have died. He's lost all of his wealth. And it's just he and God, and everybody's saying, just curse God and die. But he's trying to say, no, God's in this. God's working. God's got something. And he's saying, they're standing afar off. I go to shake hands and people don't want to shake hands with me. My eyes grown dim because of the sorrow. He's got physical ailments. All my members are like shadows. Upright men are astonished at this. And the innocent stirs himself against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold his way. And he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. You see, it's easy to wander from the kingdom of God and easy to wander from being a godly woman and a God-fearing man, standing up for righteous and standing up for the poor that can't defend themselves, and to walk away from that. It's easy to do that. It takes a real person of depth with roots that really means it with God, that when the hard times come, you still stand up and you realize it's a spiritual war that's against you, and you are not going to let other people be wounded in the war because you're going to be a wimp and you're going to give up. You're going to still stand up and defend people with intercessory prayer. And that's what Job's saying. Those that have clean hands are going to get stronger and stronger, but please come back again, all of you, for I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my hearts have changed. I just don't know where I am with the Lord, but I know He's there. I know He's there. They change the night into day, the light is near, they say in the face of darkness, if I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and if I say to the worm, you're my mother and my sister, death, wherein is hope? So don't give yourself over to depression. That's what he's saying. What if I do say, okay, I give up. I just give up. I've had it. I'm getting a divorce. I'm filing bankruptcy. I just give up. I don't want it anymore. No, he says, don't do that. What if you do say that? I'll give myself over to the worm. I know it's going to eat my body like everybody else. Then verse 15, he shows that the Spirit is stronger than all the trials that could ever come upon any one of us. He says this in verse, where then is my hope if I take that attitude? As for my hope, who can see it? God sees it. You have hope. You hope that it's real. You hope that it's true. You hope that God loves you. You hope that Jesus raised from the dead. You hope that the Lord is listening. You hope that the Lord is walking with you. It's real because you walk by faith and not by sight, and that means by feelings. Oh, I feel so good. Praise the Lord. Oh, I feel down. God doesn't love me. No, Job is saying that's not it. Wherein is my hope? I'm going to look to God. I'm going to keep my hope looking to God. So the man that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And we don't want to do that. So don't stray from the kingdom of God, ladies and gentlemen. Keep on the golden pavement and keep walking in His kingdom. You see, people seldom lose their religion by a blowout. It's usually a slow leak. It just doesn't happen all at once. And if you feel that it's leaking out tonight as the night, say, oh God, don't let my heart wander. Oh God, don't let me fall into that trap. Oh Lord, hold me closer than ever before and just let me know you love me. The man who strays away from common sense will end up dead, is what the Living Bible said, this verse says. God, we just ask you, we pour our hearts out before you. Don't let us wander away from the kingdom. Don't let us wander away from the ways of understanding and wisdom. God, we beg you, don't let us wander away from your arms that want to hug us. Lord, fill us with your love. Help us have ears that will hear the poor and eyes that will see the needs. Help us, Lord, to be diligent people, steadily plodding along that prosperity would come and we'd take that prosperity and multiply it 10 times or 5 times or 2 times. But we wouldn't fear. We wouldn't be lazy. We wouldn't be wicked. We wouldn't try to defend ourselves and have excuses and bury what you've given us. But Lord, we would bow down on our knees and break the most expensive vessel we have and let the oil pour out. That we would see your spiritual life that you have for us and not an intellectual life, but a real life of walking in the Spirit. And God, please help us guard our hearts because you have said out of the hearts are the issues of life and you have taught us it. Every way seems right unto a man. Father, though we may think that we're right in how we think or do, we want it to be your way. Turn our hearts like the King, that our hearts would pour into heaven and onto people's lives to bless them. Please don't let us be arrogant or strong-willed, that we would fight against you and miss the blessing of walking in the Spirit as you are in the Spirit. Help us be people of love that would be surrendered to you and be blessed by knowing you. And as the pressures build up against us in these evil days and times, may you give us strength and courage to be women that will say, no, this is my body, it's nobody else's. There will be men that say, I don't need this, I don't need comfort from anything other than God. There would be people that say, Lord, I am yours, multiply, teach me, increase me, that I can give back even more, that you could increase me even more, that more people can be blessed. Bless this group of people, Lord, and let the wisdom of Solomon flood their souls even as they sleep tonight, that they'd be drawn so closely to you and sense your tremendous love and blessing. Honor them, Lord. Honor them. Bless those Bibles that are holding in their hands right now. Let the word leap off the pages to them. Bless their hearts as they care for people and they're good and they want to do what is good, Lord. Help them with the weakness of their flesh that wants to do what is wrong. Help them find good friends that they could stand together and say they have the joy of the Lord and walk up to the house of the Lord together. Give them friends that they could pray with and worship with. And give them your wisdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That's Mike McIntosh bringing to a close for today our examination of Proverbs chapter 21. One of the great sins of Satan was his pride. That's why God is so disappointed in us when we think we're bigger than we are. Remember, when we accepted Jesus into our hearts, we became adopted heirs to the throne of God, which indeed does make us special. But we must also remember the example that Jesus himself gave us, a meek and gentle person full of humility. Well, if you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacIntosh.com. That's MikeMacIntosh.com, and click on the teaching link, and then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Proverbs, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacIntosh.com. Now let me also tell you about this opportunity to be part of supporting this ministry through prayer. You can take an active role in the outreach of Chapter and Verse by becoming part of the United States Prayer Force. And you can do this no matter where you live. Sign up on our webpage at MikeMacIntosh.com. We invite you to join us Thursday here on this station for more teaching with Mike McIntosh. At that time, we'll present part one of the message, Having a Good Name and Character. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.